The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Joey, what's one thing that you wish you could go back in time and do again?
I've actually thought about this quite a bit. In middle school, I played golf for the first time. My dad and I went out. We would had this like routine where we'd go out on Saturday mornings at like 6 a.m. And I was learning the game. He bought me some clubs. We started going. I saw him be extremely frustrated. He broke some clubs at one time, like over his knee. And but we had some great times. And then,
over his knee. And then
he threw his bag one time into a river. He was so mad. It was awesome. But I remember at that point, like we moved a year later and I just quit playing the game until my senior year in college. I took a golf class and I remember thinking, I love this game. Why did I not continue to play golf? So that's something I wish I would have, you know, continued to do.
Like your dad was like a mixture between Bo Jackson and that horse trainer off that movie Secretariat.
Exactly. But I mean, I love the game now and I realize, man, I lost all that time that I could have been getting better. I may have even played in high school. I don't know. I mean, I just didn't have a chance.
Well, we played golf earlier this week and I can tell you why you needed to have practice a lot more as a kid. Cause dude, that golf swing needed some work. It was dusty.
Hey, you know, I mean, now I'm focused on my daughters playing golf for that reason. I'm encouraging them. I'm watching them. I'm not playing. So there's that.
Joey, why are we talking about things that we wish we would have done in our past? What does that have to do with today's podcast?
Well, I mean, once you really start understanding the infinite banking concept, the number one question or the number one statement that we get from you is, why didn't I learn about this sooner? I wish I could go back and start sooner. Like, I'm lost all this time. This money is not compounding for the however many years ago I could have started this. So that's what we're talking about today, is how to create that compressed time within a policy, how to design it for that purpose.
How to design the policy and actually accelerate its growth through going back in time, not actually physically, but from a technical standpoint with the insurance companies, you actually can go backwards to get 2 steps ahead. You want to know more about that? You're going to have to belly up.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome into the round table, our episode that goes deep into the infinite banking concept. Every single week, I sit around the round table with my favorite fellas talking about the subject of life insurance and how do we use this on our journey to financial freedom. To my right is my partner in crime, the Italian stallion, Mr. Joey Murray. What's up, Joey?
Hey, hey, hey. Glad to be here.
Hey, man, we actually got a chance to talk in a summit today, and I was really pleased by how well you did.
By how well I did?
Yeah.
Man, that's a rare occasion that you give me a compliment like that.
No, you did an amazing job. I want everybody else to know about it.
It was recorded, and I think they enhanced it. So that could be why it came out better.
Well, to your right, we've got the Indiana Jones of financial coaching, the man who digs deep into your finances to find pure gold, downtown Ernie Brown. What's up, Ernie?
Hey, Russ. Go Braves, man.
Thank you. Yes. And by the way, for the record, since last week we were talking about the Auburn-Georgia rivalry, and Auburn got smoked. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for not mentioning it not one time this week to me.
Yeah, you brought it up first.
I know. I'm glutton for punishment, and I appreciate a Georgia fan who is humble and takes his wins nicely. Thank you. On the other end of the table, the man between two bamboo, our resident pilot, the one who's to get you to your financial destination safely, Mark the Gooch Haraguchi. What's up, Mark?
Not much, guys. Good afternoon, everybody. Good to be here.
And good morning, good afternoon, and good night to Mr. Incredible, the man with the million-dollar smile, J.D. Hill. What's up, J.D.?
Hello, hello. I'm coming to you live from the mountains, and I am glad to be here.
Hey, by the way, if you're listening to this for the first time, you don't have to only be able to listen to it. You can watch this live. All you have to do is go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/innercircle, participate not only in these live discussions, but also get to go deeper, because after this discussion, we do a deeper dive case study and allow our Inner Circle members to ask questions of our coaches and to get the insight that they need to understand better how to use these insurance policies. All right, gentlemen, today's topic is how to make an insurance policy 3 years old in 18 months. How and why would you want to do that, Joey?
First of all, that's a bold statement, right? I mean, it's like we're compressing time in today's episode. Who doesn't want to do that?
Well, I don't want to compress time when it comes to like my life. Right. Cause I have a 7-year-old who's about to be 8. And I was just like, hey, buddy, this year on your birthday, let's just keep you 7. He doesn't want to do that. Right. He doesn't want to do that.
He wasn't on board.
He wants to go faster. He wants to compress time. But when it comes to stuff like that, I don't want to compress time. But when it comes to getting to my destination faster, like I press the gas pedal all day long.
Right. To compound on our money, we know time is the enemy. And we don't have enough of it. So how can we make it go faster? And that's why I love today's topic, because that's what we're really about. And who does this apply to, by the way? So Ernie, when we're talking about making a policy 3 years old in 18 months, who does it really apply to?
Maybe a couple of different people. Maybe someone who has got a lot of cash, which is not... Seems like in the past couple of years, it's become more common. People come into us who have got just pools of cash that they want to get into these policies, and not necessarily all the cash flow that they would want. And so that would be one person. Another person would be somebody who, well, you know, that's the main one that I think of.
Well, what I mean, it's also about the person who has woken up and said, "Man, I love this concept of infinite banking. And I wish I had known about it sooner. So what's the fastest way I could get started?" And even if it's just a 6-month head start, I think it applies.
Yeah. Well, right? When you were saying that, it made me think it's the person who always says, "Well, man, I wish I had known about this 20 years ago." Yeah. Well, we can't necessarily do 20 years, but we might be able to do 6 months. Is that good enough?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, JD, let me bring you to discussion. What do you think as we're talking about this topic? Because be honest, you're the actually one that gave us the title. Why would someone want to accelerate a life insurance policy? What is the typical way someone might do that? And why would they want to do it in relationship to the infinite banking concept?
I wish I would have come up with a more catchy title, like how to collapse time, right? That's a catchy title. But making a policy 3 years old in 18 months, that's not that sexy, but the art of it actually is sexy in terms of what we're doing. Anyways, I just wanted to put that plug out there. So thank you for giving me ownership of the title. What was the question again?
Well, no worries. I mean, we'll circle back to you. No, here's the question. And this is okay. Usually it's Joey not listening to me. I know that everyone gets distracted from time to time. So here's the question. Why would somebody want to make a policy 3 years old in 18 months and relationship to typical financial advice? And then also, why would someone want to do it in relationship to the infinite banking concept?
I think is to make up for lost time, right? Which is something we just alluded to. You know, we can't go back and make more time. It's the one commodity that you can't make more of is time. And so I think, you know, for a lot of people, it's how do we make up for lost time? And the other is, you know, we want to also accelerate our growth phase, right? We want to try to accelerate growth and have that happen faster. You know, so I think those are some of the reasons why people would want to do something like this.
Mark, what would you add to the discussion?
Well, yeah, what I was thinking of is all of our clients come to us at different phases and different stages of their life. We've all got different, you know, points in time. And one of the questions I get from some people is, well, how long is it going to take for my policy to be able to capitalize? Like, how long is it going to take for this thing to grow to a point that I can now use it and employ it? And what if I told you that, hey, there might be a way that we could actually get 3 years of activity, 3 years of growth, and actually get it done in 18 months. I mean, think about the growing season in Alaska. I mean, it's just nonstop sunlight. So those vegetables, like they have with the largest pumpkin contest or stuff like that, just based on that specific scenario, those things are able to grow so much quicker. And although we can't necessarily do that everywhere in the world, but what if we have an opportunity for this, the IBC type policy, to be able to squeeze 3 years of growth out in 18 months?
Well, Ernie, sometimes people say, well, is this legal? Is this, how do I get to put extra money in the insurance policy? I thought these insurance policies had limits to how much money you can put in them. And if you guys are trying to squeeze 3 years of premiums in an 18-month window, are we not breaking some sort of rule?
Yeah, and that actually comes up maybe in a larger question when we're even talking about the infinite banking concept and what we're trying to do with these policies. It comes up, no doubt. One of the things is this isn't an IBC trick. This is backdating insurance policies is something that's done commonly just in the insurance world. And the reason for that is, say somebody wants to go and do the Dave Ramsey prescribed method of buy term, invest the rest. What they're trying to do is, wish you could see Russ right now, is they're trying to get the cheapest cost of insurance that they can. And we know that the older you get, the more expensive coverage becomes. So if you're able to go back in time and start a policy at a younger age, you can get a cheaper cost. And so people will do that all the time. And we're just applying that legal and accepted and welcomed trick of the trade from these insurance companies. We're just doing that in the infinite banking concept to make our cash work harder.
Yes. And I'm glad that you said that, because it is a process. All of these things, the life insurance is a tool. And our job is to look to see how best to use the tool properly. And there's all sort of, like, this is an old analogy I've heard many times, but they say a hammer can do multiple things, right? It can create, and it also can create destruction. And when we're using a life insurance policy, it always comes back to the use is way more important than the tool itself. And Joey, you and I have experienced this personally in our lives, that when we're trying to get money into projects, right? We just started up the short-term rental business, and it has created a need for cash on the regular. And whenever we do stuff, we always want to make sure we run our cash through an insurance policy first. And so then there's always this thought, well, how do I get money into the policy before I take a loan against it to go do the project? Because if I know what I use the money for is going to create a bunch of cash flow, I'm going to need a place to put it. And where better to put it than through a loan repayment?
That's right. And if we can do that first, then we know we've captured that ongoing compounding interest, which again kind of alludes to the whole concept today is time. We want that money to compound as fast and as long as possible. So how do we do that? We can backdate the policy, which I think it's good for us to bring this up at this point. So Ernie mentioned it, but the art of backdating a policy, again, has been around for a long time. We're just using it from the perspective of getting as much cash in as possible. It's less about saving the insurance cost of age, right? It's more, which is what the way that most insurance companies think. It's more in our case, and I think there's even a case study we're going to talk about in the Inner Circle where a client came to us even in the last 6 months and was able to put in an extremely large amount of money in a short amount of time because of this, but we're just using that concept of backdating. So maybe could somebody share a little bit more detail, maybe JD, if you want to jump in, on what is actually happening when you backdate a policy and why that we're using that.
Yeah. So, I think, you know, contextually what we're doing is, so if I could draw it out like on a timeline, right, is say your birthday is in June. Okay. And we're coming into December, right, 6 months later. What we're doing is we're basically effectively going back to June to start your policy. Right. And so say your birthday was June 1st. So we go back to June 1st and that becomes day one of your policy 6 months ago. And so I pay the annual contribution, annual premium for this policy year, right, from June all the way until June of next year. And then 6 months later, right, from December to June of next year, my next premium is due. And so I effectively was able to get two premiums, right, 24 months worth of premiums, if you will, into the policy in 6 months, right, which is really, really fascinating when you think about it. And then 12 months later, from June to the following June, now I'm in year three. And so that's 18 months. And so now I was able to get three payments, if you will, into the policy in 18 months. And so mechanically what we're able to do is, you know, think about it. We're seasoning the policy, if you will, right? We're able to microwave that time to get it done faster. So your policy is growing now at 3 years old, but it only took 18 months to get there.
Well, and for those who are not super familiar with like the mechanics of the life insurance policy, Mark, I'm going to lean on your expertise as a pilot, and I've heard other pilots talk about this, but talk about the phenomenon or the science behind an airplane and those first couple of miles as it's traveling, as opposed to the last couple of miles that it's traveling. Is it more efficient for the airplane the further it goes because of fuel being burned off, et cetera?
Yeah, in the start of our journey is when we are expending the most amount of energy just to get the ball rolling. But once we've gotten that ship in motion, we're up, we're moving along, the environment and whatnot is now lending itself to us being more efficient because just like you said, we're burning off that dead weight, that we're burning off that gas. So we get more and more efficient as time moves forward so we can actually get farther spending less gas, spending less energy.
Well, and I think that's what we see that these life insurance policies early on when we start them up, we know we're starting something from scratch and it's something, a time that we have to go by. So we want it to go fast, right? Think about this as like any time, Joey, in your life where you experience some pain, you wanted the pain to be over as quickly as possible.
Yeah, rip the Band-Aid off.
And I want to talk about like, as we're capitalizing, I don't want our brains to think in pain, but it is this process of how do I accelerate through this time that I have to go through no matter what? And there is a process. Well, a great question, Lance, you asked is why would you not want to do this? Is there a situation where this would not be a benefit to us, Joey? How would you answer that question?
Well, if you aren't unable to put in the amount of premium, let's say in that time frame, like what JD outlined is a 6 month time frame. If you aren't prepared to be able to fund your policy in that amount of time, then you wouldn't want to do this. So that would be one obvious answer. The second thing is there's certain insurance companies that won't allow you to backdate except for very specific reasons. And in some of those cases, we can't ever make it work.
Well, so I think a good part here is that you're right. There's different insurance companies. And for clarification, for all the non-insurance nerds in the, listening to this, is that an insurance company declares you a insurance age at the nearest 6 months to whatever birth date you are, right? So for instance, my birthday's in March. You guys make notate that, March 17th. You can all send me cards and thank yous. And
1957.
So at this point, right, we're sitting here in October. I am considered 44 years old. I know I don't look like that, but I am considered 44 years old in the insurance company's eyes because I'm closer to 44 than I am to 43. And what I could do if I wanted to is that I could back up to a time where I'm closer to 43. The insurance company will do that. Now, they're not doing that so I can put more money in it. They're doing it because they want you know, people want to save the cost of insurance. And when you buy insurance the typical way, which is 99% of the advisors out there are selling life insurance. We just saw one the other day, this exact example. They sell insurance where it's how much death benefit you want to do, and then it costs this amount of money to provide it. And if you're younger, then it's a little bit cheaper. But we literally want the most expensive insurance, don't we?
That's right.
We want to put as much money as we possibly can. So our objective is not surrounded the death benefit. Our objective is, can I get more cash in? And so, yes, if I wanted to get more cash in quicker because I have cash, because isn't that, Ernie, the reason why most people are coming to us and asking us, how can I get more money into the policy? That's where this scenario comes in, at least what I'm seeing. Tell me about an example, or is that right?
Well, it's great timing that you asked me, because just a couple hours ago, we sent a policy to be issued where we're backdating.
Okay.
And this guy's scenario is, he's been working for a period of time. He's built up cash. He wants to get started on this, but he's going back to school. I think he's getting his MBA. So he's got 2 years where his income is going to be way less than it has been. But he understands all the benefits of this. He wants to get lots of cash in the policy. And he's got enough cash so that when he comes back to be working, we plan his cash flows as we foresee them to be. And we're taking that lump sum and we're putting it in and backdating his policy. The situation worked out, but the timing was there for that. And he's able to be 3 years into his policy and capitalize that thing. It's becoming more efficient by the time he's putting new cash flow in his premium.
Well, Joey, this concept is new to most advisors. Most advisors don't understand how to apply this. And they don't even understand that there's ways to get cash into these policies even quicker than that. I mean, talk to the fact that last year we had a number of people come to us who had lump sum of cash and wanted to get as much in as possible. How did we handle those situations?
Well, before, a couple years ago, we just told them, well, you're just going to have to hold off, right? Like, put it in over a number of years. That's the only solution that we knew of or had been exposed to. And then a couple years ago, we started realizing that there's this ability to put in a lump sum at the outset of setting up your policy. Like, in addition to, if you've heard us talk about before, the base and the paid up additions rider, that's kind of been the baseline of what you build these policies on. But you could also do this additional one-time lump sum in the first year. Sometimes you could spread it over 2 years, but then you couple that with backdating. Now you've got a really powerful way to get as much as possible. You're just breathing down the neck of that modified endowment contract line. Like, you're saying, hey, I want to just squeeze, as Russ says, 5 pounds of sausage into a 3 pound wrapper.
Mark.
Yeah, Russ should stop saying that.
Mark, think about, like, when you were taking advantage of the CARES Act. And if you don't know what the CARES Act, you need to go into the community and watch videos. Go type in CARES Act in our community and figure out how people are doing this. But think about the CARES Act. How many times do people have this experience of a lump sum of money, a one-time event, and they're trying to figure out, how do I get this done? How do I do it so that next year I don't have to come up with the same amount of money because I don't have that same amount of money? Hey, can you think about, like, how this applies to that situation?
Absolutely. Have a couple of clients who are taking a look at the CARES Act and trying to figure out how they can squeeze it all in there. And yeah, you know, we've talked about trying to squeeze too much money in, and there's always a give and a take, right? There are certain limitations on how we do certain things. But if this opportunity is on the table, now you've created one more option for people to look at. And really, it's, in my opinion, given the scenario, if it can work, it's probably one of the most efficient ways to do it. But again, everyone is different. Everyone has a different end game goal. And we got to look at it specifically for the client. And that's what our calls and our videos that we do with our clients, that's where we figure out what is the best path forward for you.
By the way, so if you're not in the inner circle, this is going to be a great reason for you to join. We're actually going to dive deep into the difference. Like, what would be the pros and cons of doing a one-time lump sum versus a backdating of a policy? Are there pros and cons of that? And how do those things compare? So if you haven't joined, go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/innercircle so you can be a part of that live and be able to see even the videos that we've done in the past that are deeper dives into each one of these subjects.
Well, technically not live, since it would be watching the recording of it.
Well, yeah, for this episode. thanks for pointing that out, Russ.
Well, this is one of those very deep subjects, right? There's a lot of rabbit holes within this. This is something that not the average consumer is digging through, but that's the reason why this roundtable exists. It's to get lots of different opinions, but more importantly, to hear real life scenarios. Like what you were talking about, Ernie, earlier, is having a conversation and helping someone do that. Mark, you're helping people right now with that process. So thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this roundtable. I really thought this was a good subject matter to cover. Next week, we're going to dive deeper. Joey, what do you think we're covering next week?
So we're going to cover a three-letter word. It's IUL, Index Universal.
What is that?
And why are we hissing at IUL as it is the improper baseline for using the infinite banking concept. But there's some people out there talking about how it can be used for this concept. We're going to uncover that and more. So stay tuned and we'll see you next week on that.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.